Let us pray. Lord, we pray today for understanding, wisdom, and guidance. Please open our eyes, ears, and our hearts, and help us to apply your word to our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Now, the scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew. It is chapter 19, found in your pew Bible on page 824. It's verse 13 through 15. Then children were brought to him that he may lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. The word of God for the people of God.
Very similar text from a few weeks ago, so forgive me if I repeat some of my comments. I can remember one of the, kind of getting used to ministry moments for me was some of my first work with children in the church. I was very used to those children's Bibles with the Norman Rockwell type picture of Jesus and all the children of the world. You know, they're in their costumes of the different nationalities and red and yellow, black and white, all around him. But if you look closely, they're all clean. They're quiet. They're attentive. None of them look like they have snot running down their nose. They do not look like children as children really are. And so getting around actual kids who run and jump off of the days and who usually have one in them who's got a cough or a cold and often dirt. I got to see a picture earlier of Bo with did he clean out your grill? Is that what he did? And it seems like the more dirt on a boy's face, the bigger the smile, right? I mean, it's just that's children. They are full of life and interested in things, and that is the real children that are brought to Jesus. And so I can understand why the disciples might have been saying, "Don't bring them. Jesus is important. He's busy. They're getting in the way. They're loud, and they have no real needs. These others have real needs." And so they're rebuking and sending the children away. And Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And then he blesses them and sends them. And so one of the things we have here is I think this is kind of a bookmark to Jesus talking about discipleship in the kingdom of heaven. He's talked about what it is to have life in the kingdom, and he started out as they came and said, the children, he put a child and said, "Unless you become as a little child," because they're seeking position and power and influence. And he talks about how we live pursuing righteousness and how we live as disciples in the various settings of our life, whether married or single. And now I think he's kind of closing off this section with a bookend, reminding us, children such as these, to them belong the kingdom of heaven. And so we're gonna look at, just kind of zoom the movie camera lens on three aspects of this morning. First is those bringing the children. Then we're going to look at Jesus, and then Jesus' words to us that to such belong the kingdom of heaven. So it says children were brought to him. I think it's not insignificant that that word is passive. It's not saying parents are bringing their children or bringing children, but its focus is on the children and that they are being brought. And notice they're being brought, and the idea is not that my child is sick, heal, right? My child is demon-possessed, cleanse. This is just bless my child. Lay your hands, give a blessing on them. And, you know, I think we're moving from the realization of here's desperation of Jesus, heal my child, to the recognition of our children need Jesus. Our children need God's blessing. It's not just a matter of only when they're sick do we turn to Jesus. It's an idea that we need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to have them growing and have them know who Jesus is just for life. Just for you know, not waiting until things are bad, but to say they need him now. I mean, we're in a time of spiritual disease, where people don't have a sense of right and wrong and what's proper and what's good and valuing life and goodness. And the cure for that is to know God and his word and the one who made us and who values others and who's gentle and meek and lowly. And so we need to bring our children to Jesus. So, you know, parents, grandparents, if your child is sick, you're going to go to the pediatrician. Child's really sick, you're going to Le Bonheur. It's no-brainer. You just when something is physically bad. And I know conversations with parents, you know education is important, and every parent works out what's going to be the best education for my child, because you know you need employability, you need to develop your mind, you need to grow, and we want our children to have fun and joy, and so we bring them into events. And I just want to remind us, it was parents, neighbors, but parents bringing their children to Jesus. To what extent do you value your child knowing Jesus and being around the people of God and having them in Christ's blessing, where he said he will bless with his word, with sacraments? And so I encourage you, as you're thinking about all of these things, don't lower the priority of having your children brought to Jesus. They need to know him. They need his love. They need to know his ways. They need to grow up learning about him and knowing who he is, and praying for a day that they would never know a day they didn't trust in him. And so part of us as parents is not only looking after our physical well-being, not only looking at your children's education, not only looking at their what's entertaining and amusing, but are you bringing them to Jesus? And then there's Jesus, the disciples rebuking, saying, send them away. They're loud. I can't hear what he's saying. Send them away. They're, you know, you got more important things. I was considering my own growing up. I was very fortunate to grow up on a boys' ranch where we were all teenagers. But then about 13, moved away and went to a church. And I remember friends in church and us and others in the church made it very clear that we were rebuked, right? We were rebuked by some of them. It was very clear they didn't want us, at least want us as acting our age. And many of them got the message, they're no longer in the church, right? Somebody didn't want them there. And it's one of the things that we rejoice when we hear little voices. We rejoice when there's the patter of feet. We rejoice when things are, showing evidence of life. Because I've been to a lot of quiet churches. I've been to a lot of really silent churches. Usually when I'm going as a representative presbytery to close them down. The life of a church. We welcome. And so as Jesus welcomed and blessed the children, you are now the body of Christ. Do we welcome the children? Do we welcome the little ones? Do we welcome the least of these, those who are childlike? Do we show a graciousness and a welcome and an expectation to act your age, to act appropriate for the age and not act like, someone much older? As Presbyterians, we baptize children to show that they are part of the church, that they are truly members of the church, that we're not waiting until they're old enough to make their own profession. They're actually part of the church family. And that's part of what we do, is we recognize that as we worship and as we go about our things, it's not the adults, and one day they are the church. They are the church now, and all to be shown love and grace and matured into the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we as the body of Christ, are we doing everything to welcome the children, to bless the children, to show them God's ways? And then is the word, that for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Early on, he talked about people seeking status and privilege and power and position. And so that's part of what he's obviously meaning by this. I think there's might also be something in here. I've laid hands on them. Jesus simply blesses them. And I think there's a contentment with that blessing that Jesus gives to us. For us to be as children, to us to seek to be as children and receive the kingdom, it tells us a couple of things. Now, first off, I think because of what Jesus is saying, we need to stop limiting this verse to children's Bibles and pictures in the nursery. This might be a really good text used at every ordination service. This might be a really good text for any denominational official or anyone leading religious organizations to remember that if you are to be great, you are to be a servant, and you are to be as a child. For that is greatness in the kingdom. In fact, that is even entering the kingdom is becoming as a little child. And I think part of that is the absolute dependence on Jesus. Your absolute dependence on him, right? I mean, kids need everything. You got to tie their shoe. They don't know anything about a 401k. I mean, they just need your help on everything, right? I mean, it's just all this work. They don't get jokes. I mean, it's just, you know, nuts. So they need everything. And I think there's too often we forget that when we come to Christ, we come as a little child. We think we're bringing something. We're going to do great things for Jesus. Right? We're, you know, that I'm dedicating myself to him and I'm giving him my heart like he needs your heart. You're receiving him. You're dependent upon him. And one of the great pictures of that is I love it when we baptize a believer and an infant at the same time because it's a beautiful image to show God's grace being poured out on this child and to be able to look at the adult or the parent or whoever is with that child and say, and you bring nothing more to the table except of a lifetime more sin. It's all grace. It's all dependent upon him. And do we see our need for him? Do we see that we follow Jesus not because we're doing things for him, but because of his grace poured out to us and we need him? And our life of following Christ, of growing in him, of leading and maturing, never goes beyond an incredible dependence upon his grace and our need for him. So part of what this is becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Christ, entering into the kingdom is only those who show their weakness and their dependence upon Jesus. But beyond that, I think there's a contentment with the blessings of Jesus. It's been a rough week. It seemed like the beginning of the week, I can't remember timeline on things, but beginning of the week, the horrific images of a young girl being killed on public transport, callous bystanders. The news, was it Wednesday? Graham comes home from school, obviously shaken. Some friends had a phone out. He thought it was going to be another funny video. Another silly video, and he goes over and he watches somebody he's seen speak, you know, reels and before, someone he knows as he sees him assassinated and killed graphically. At the same time, more shootings, not far from Columbine, which still haunts us. And then more words of violence, more news of death. And the follow-up of amazement as people are celebrating, cheering someone's death over their opinions and words. And the callousness. And anything happening immediately being used to politicize whatever policy instead of shutting up and mourning. And I know many of you, your life is lived in the midst of this kind of darkness. And as you see others exposed to it, I just think of what kind of world is this desire for my kingdom, my power of others, my making others do what I want, me seeking greatness, me seeking a name, having all these things is a desire for more than what God has given and a desire to hurt others to bring it about. And I wish somebody had answers. I mean, it's obviously a spiritual disease that only healing from God is going to bring to us. Wonder if have we gone too far? Are we just going to see now more violence facing violence? Are we just going to... This was a really good week to go to camp. All this in the background and getting ready. And we go off into Camp Linden. And I watch the children of this church laughing, putting their face in the dirt, playing, getting in the water, eating ice cream, singing songs as we worship, having fun, running around, having a wonderful time. And it does my heart good just to see children being children, content with the blessings of ice cream and music and friends and playing in a river and trying to catch fish. This is the kingdom of heaven, being content with the good blessings our Father has given us. No seeking to be over others and power over others and oppressing others and bringing them down and hurting them. But then I looked at the adults. And I saw them eating ice cream and laughing together and playing in the water and having fun and enjoying God's creation and enjoying fellowship with one another. And it doesn't look like anything earth-shattering. But in the backdrop of death and blood, sitting around a campfire with friends, enjoying a good beverage and laughing and joking is the kingdom of heaven. There's something about just being content with what God has done to you and given you and made you and enjoying the blessings he's given us and realizing what he has given us is enough. I don't know if you've read The Hobbit or seen the movie. The Hobbit is this fantasy movie. You can get an amen from up here at the sound system. Some people know. The Hobbit are these little people. They're about 3 foot tall, and they really just enjoy sitting around smoking a pipe and drinking beer and singing songs and having fun. And one of them gets caught in this adventure where these warrior dwarves are going to reclaim their kingdom. And they go in, and they're going to get this hoard of gold and reestablish the kingdom. And it leads to this incredible war between all these armies, and they fight a dragon, and there's all this. And at the very end of it, the hobbit is ready to go back home. And he faces off the king who has brought about this war and this bloodshed, who has got his gold, and he's dying. He's been wounded. And the king looks at the little hobbit and says, I'm going now to die where my gold doesn't matter, my power, crown, authority, none of it makes any difference. And the hobbit's going home back to the things he enjoys. And there's this wonderful line where he says, the world would be a merrier place if more people were interested in fun and food and songs. I'm old enough to realize now that's the moral of the story of the hobbit. I want enough to realize that is the whole point of this great adventure of what I thought was killing a dragon and getting the gold. It's really about going home and being content with God's blessings. And it's a lesson because the writer of it, J.R.R. Tolkien, fought in World War I. And he watched classmates killed. And he watched the bloodshed and the senselessness and the violence. And I think he wrote a children's story to remember. Unless you become as little children, unless you become content with who you are instead of having power over others and oppressing others and seeking your will over others and enjoying the good gifts, that is where true life is. That is the kingdom of heaven. Now unto him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine be honor and glory and power forever. Amen.